You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our mission is to help the people of God understand the Word of God. Join us each Monday and Thursday for new episode releases. Listen to our full library of content at teachmethebible.com or by downloading the Teach Me the Bible app from any app store. You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our Genesis series. If you've been tagging along with us up to this point, we're in chapter 15. And we're going to handle chapter 15 on its own. I know sometimes we sort of do two chapters at a time. 15, there is a ton of detail.
Yes.
That's going to be, it's all important for the rest of the story, but particularly chapter 15 is going to set up a lot of what's going to come later in the story. So we're going to spend a little more time just in this one chapter. If this is your first time with us, we'll encourage you to go back to the beginning and kind of snowball all that stuff forward before you get to chapter 15. But for those of you who are with us, let's just dive right in. See how it goes.
Yeah, and so we jump in. We're in the Abram still section. Mm-hmm. And so we pick it up in 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Now, it's easy to go in there and take those, you know, "Do not fear. Mm-hmm. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great." That sounds good. Cut them out. Put them on your refrigerator.
It's my life verse also.
Yeah, make it. Yeah, and so the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my protector. Yeah, He's my hedge. So you start building, and my reward's going to be very great. Well,
right.
Chapter 15, and these words that the Lord has spoken that Moses is recording is a reminder of what was back in chapter 12, that I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the promised Messiah is coming through this one. And so I am a shield to you. Mm-hmm. The Lord is going to protect Abram and Sarai until his purposes for them are complete. Mm-hmm. You know, now after after Abraham and Sarah have Isaac, mm-hmm. And a substitute is provided for Isaac, a sacrifice for Isaac. We're going to get into that. That's some detail in chapter 22. Then the story starts to turn away from Abraham and not paying any attention to him at all. You know, Sarah dies, Abram gets remarried, has other kids, kicks him out of the land, and Abraham's going to live for a while longer. Mm-hmm. But there's not another word spoken about him because now the promise has gone to Isaac. And so now the Lord is the shield. So why is the Lord the shield to Abram, then to Isaac, then to Jacob? Then, you know, we go down to the, you know, to David even, mm-hmm. because they are the carriers of the promise.
Right.
The promised one is coming through them. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord is going to protect His promise. Mm-hmm.
And that's also coming out of chapter 14, where Abram was just over there battling it out with all these other Gentiles,
right.
nations, and he came out fine.
Well, right? because he's the carrier of the
right,
promise,
exactly,
right?
So exactly.
But when the promise has passed along, mm-hmm. you know, does the shield go with it? You know, he doesn't have this, you know, Superman shield around him anymore, right?
Right.
And so is God made promises to us? Yes. Is God said that I am your shield? Well, no. First of all, no, he hasn't said that directly to us. But is he our protector? Well, it depends on what you mean by that, mm-hmm. right? Not in the same way that he was the protector of these, because he's, you know, and if we keep reading, we see that Abram is going to tie this right back to the promise. He says, and Abram said, "Oh Lord, what will you give me since I'm childless?"
Mm.
You know, here you are, and you know, he's understood, you know, this seed promise, and this promise is tracking through him, and he's going, "Well, where's the kid, Lord?"
That's right.
You know, "I am your shield. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great." Notice that Abram ties it directly to being childless. Well, I'm childless, so how's this going to work?
Mm.
Since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, a foreigner. And Abram said, since you have given me no seed. Mm-hmm. He's tying it to the promise.
Right.
One born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man shall not be your heir, but one shall come forth from your own body. He will be your heir. Abram's like, okay, so I'm going to have a kid. Well, the problem here is that, you know, Sarai is old as the hills,
and she can't have kids.
And she can't have kids. Right. So he's going, okay, well, then how's this going to work? Mm-hmm. Well, the next chapter, and we're going to cover this next time, this is their, well, we're smart enough to figure this out. Sarai can't have it, so you will get a maidservant in here, and she'll have the kid. No, that's not the plan. It's one man, one woman, one flesh. Sarai is going to have the kid. And they're like, no, that's not it. Lord, let me explain how this works.
In case you forgot.
Yeah. And so that's going to be chapter 17. It's going to be repeated. And Abram's actually going to, you know, laugh at this whole thing. You know, he laughed, and that's what Isaac names means. He laughed. And so all of this is being tied back to the seed. And so we've got from your own body. What he fails to recognize is from his own body, it also means from Sarah's own body. Sarai, at this point, Sarah, because one man, one woman, one flesh, Genesis 2:24. And so he took him outside and said, now look at the heavens and count the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your seed be. And this is an interesting imagery that's going to be, it's being introduced here. It's, you know, you've got this multiplication of this seed has already been stated earlier, but here it's stated again. And the way that this is going to develop in the story is, you know, that those who sleep in the dust of the ground will be raised to everlasting life. This is Daniel 12. Hmm. And those who have insight will shine forth like the stars of the heavens, you know. Hmm. And so, you know, Joseph later in the story is going to have a dream of the sun and the moon and the 12 stars mm-hmm. bowing down to me. So the seed is going to be like the dust of the ground. They're going to return to the ground, and they're going to be plentiful, but they're all going to die. But they're mm-hmm. going to be raised to glory. Right? Mm-hmm. This is where the story's headed. One more in there, your seed like the sand of the seashore is another one that, you know, going to deal with the Gentiles, and we'll talk about that mm-hmm. later. And so shall your seed be. Verse 6. Translated, then he believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, right? This is in Hebrew, what we call a disjunctive clause. Perfect construction. It doesn't mean anything to, if you don't know Hebrew, that means nothing to you.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that is that in the, let me talk a little, you know, jargon here. This word in the hifil perfect always refers to something that has happened in the past, had believed, mm-hmm. right? And so is it then he believed, or is it now he had believed yep. in the Lord right. and it was reckoned to him as righteousness? Right.
Well, the important thing about that word disjunctive that you use is it's not and then and then and then and then. It's
yeah.
It's breaking up the narrative.
The narrator can just, right. Oh, now
so
let me remind you.
Probably isn't the right word here, right?
Yeah. 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 So or.
So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe so or now, mm-hmm. you know, now he had believed in the Lord mm-hmm. and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, this would really fit well with what James is doing.
Right.
With what the writer of Hebrews is doing. Where he believed the Lord in chapter 12. Mm-hmm. He's still looking for this child in chapter 15. Mm-hmm. He's promised of this seed, and it's a reminder. I think the narrator's reminding you. Now, he had believed in the Lord. It was reckoned to his righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees and to give this land to you to possess it. And he said, Lord, how shall I possess it? Right? And so verse 8 is going to drive the rest of the chapter. The question is, how will I, Abram, know that I will possess it? And so the Lord responds. Here's how you'll know.
Yeah.
Bring me, so the Lord said, bring me 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon.
Right.
And he brought all these and cut them in two and laid them each half opposite the other, but he didn't cut the birds. Then he brought all of these to him and cut them in two, laid them. He didn't cut the birds. And the birds of prey came upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. And the sun was, as the sun was going down, this is in verse 12, and it came about as the sun was going down that a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Mm. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. There's a big debate in theological circles about what's going on here, what type of
ritual
yeah. was this, what type of a covenant's being made. Was it a conditional covenant? Was it an unconditional covenant? And so they debate all of these details. And they go back to ancient Near Eastern backgrounds mm-hmm. and they try to figure all this out. And so we don't forget that the reader is the Jew coming out of the Exodus, mm-hmm. entering into the land. And Moses is the storyteller. So we're operating at the wrong level when we ask those questions. Mm-hmm. The question is, why is Moses telling the people about this mm-hmm. scene?
This detail.
Why do they need to know this? And how does it relate to the reader, right? Would the reader, some 400 years later, have access to a cult ritual, some sacrifice, exercise, that happened, 400 years previously in a land, far to the north, right?
Yeah, right.
They haven't entered the land yet. We don't know that, right? We do know that the answer to the question, how will I know that I will have it? This is what's
possessed
the land. This is the answer. Mm-hmm. And so a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Now, what's happening? Abram, what is this? How is the sleep being used? Those who sleep in the dust of the ground, this sleep and, mm-hmm. and death is going to be tied together throughout the story. After Abram is dead, darkness is going to fall, on this whole mm-hmm. genealogical line. They're going to be enslaved for 400 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it says. It says, and darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, this is explaining the darkness and terror that fell upon him. Know for certain that your seed will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and they'll be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. That's the terror and darkness that mm-hmm. fell upon him. But I will judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they shall return here. Right? So they're down in Egypt. They're going to return back here to the promised land of being promised to Abram. That's why we talk about the promised land. Mm-hmm. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. And when it came about, when the sun had set, it was very dark, and behold, right? So the sun had set. Abraham was asleep, mm-hmm. great terror and darkness. Mm-hmm. And then the smoking oven and the flaming torch shows up and passes between the pieces. Mm-hmm. So the pieces are cut. Abram falls asleep. Darkness and terror. Then the flaming, the smoke and the flame goes through the pieces. Mm-hmm. Okay. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, said, to your descendants, I have given this land, right? So the question, how will I know that you'll receive it? He says, in the middle, it interrupts, know for certain that your descendants will, live in a land not theirs, right. And they will enslaved, and they will, and then the fourth generation, they'll come back here after. And so this is exactly what happens. The picture that's being drawn here is, all right, this is the land that's been given to you. Mm-hmm. Here's all the players. Here's all the
right.
The ites. Mm-hmm. Here's all the animals.
Right.
Right. All right. So let's lay them out. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been given to you, but you haven't received it yet because we haven't passed through the land yet to receive it. Mm-hmm. Abram, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. Then terror and darkness, 400 years of slavery. Then the pillar of fire and smoke is going to show up, and they're going to lead you into the land, mm-hmm. lead you right through all the carcasses. They're going to be dead, and bam, you're in the land. That's how you know.
Right? That's how you know when you see that happen.
So when you see the smoke and the fire show up again, it's time to go, mm-hmm. right? Now, this is what's going to happen in the Exodus, mm-hmm. right? So how were they to know that it's the time to go? Here it is, right?
And in Numbers, they're going to follow this.
Yes, they're going to follow this into the land, and so on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, said, to your seed, I've given this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, the Kenizzite, the Kadmonite, the Hittite, Perizzite, Rephaim, Amorite, and the Canaanite, Girgashite, and Jebusite. So there's a lot of ites there, and depending upon how you categorize those. So that whole point of that story, which is important for Abram to hear, is this is how you will know Abram. Now, not just how Abram knows, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, they go through this, he says, okay, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Well, was it a conditional covenant? Was it an unconditional covenant? All that's going to play out during Abraham's life. Mm-hmm. But the Lord's going to keep his covenant. He's going to do it, right? And so it has to be the Lord doing it because Abram is going to be dead.
Yeah, right.
And so there's only one player that's going to be alive to
carry this out. Yeah.
To bring this to fruition.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But this is how Israel, not only how Abram was to know, but how, more importantly, how the reader, Israel, was to know that this was from the Lord. So when they see the fire and smoke, it's time to go. And so this whole thing is setting up the Exodus. And so important chapter. So some takeaways that, you know, for how this thing's going to continue, that back to 15:4, from your own body, that's going to drive this next chapter. Abram says, okay, well, from my own body, it doesn't have anything to do with Sarah. No, that's not how
found
it works.
A loophole.
Yeah. It's the loophole. Yeah. Charlie Bayless used to call himself the loophole king, you know, and here's Abram functioning as the loophole king.
That's good.
You know, he's, Charlie Bayless was one of my old professors he's found a loophole to pull this off in the flesh.
In the flesh.
Not from according to the promise,
right?
But according to the flesh. And this is what Paul's going to talk about in Galatians.
Yeah, that's good.
In the book of Galatians, in his letter to the Galatians. And so that's the one thing. Abram had believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That was the second thing. And then the third is this is setting up the Exodus. And so those are the three points in this passage that you're going to need, the reader is going to need going forth. So the 15:4 from your own flesh, that's going to set up chapter 16, and we'll get that next time.
Yeah, that's good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm just kind of thinking about this connection. It might be here. In chapter 15:1, right, we have this, do not fear, Abram, I'm your shield.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, as we're kind of saying, this is this later bit of chapter 15 is setting up the Exodus, this pillar of fire and smoke. That's what's going to be Israel's shield later on.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to win their battles against these.
Yeah. The Lord is protecting Abram and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and the 12 sons and the 70. Mm-hmm. They're fruitful and multiplied. He's going to lead them into the land.
Right.
They're over there, you know, playing the harlot, you know, and do it. And there's a foreign king with a foreign prophet trying to curse him, and the Lord has determined to bless him.
Yeah, the Lord's fighting for him. And
he's going to fight their battles and all that stuff and make a covenant with them. And so there's a unique relationship that's being developed here that we're going to see play out.
Right. And that's an interesting point to make too, on a practical level, is we like to sing songs. It's kind of a trend lately. I don't know if you've caught that, you know, this is how the Lord fights my battles for me and all these things that we say. And it's become kind of trendy, but he actually fought their battles.
Absolutely.
Literal battles.
Yeah.
We're not talking about depression and anxiety that he's fighting for. He's actually out there killing their enemies in the wilderness, all these things as they're going to the land.
Yeah. And and making it so obvious that it's that he's the one doing it. You know, mm-hmm. take a few hundred down there. Right. Don't go in there with any swords. We're going to going into battle with a
right.
a torch and a you know clay pot and yeah. you know bang it, you know and you know and I'll throw yeah. down stones from heaven and I'll make so the Lord's doing
yeah.
all this, but the Lord doesn't do it with Stephen. Mm. You know, with you know, with these New Testament martyrs, mm. right? So what's changed?
Yeah.
And
yeah, we got to know where we are in the story, yes. who we are,
yep.
right? How we got here, yeah. what, you know, and as you're going through this story, especially in Genesis, Abraham and his descendants, see, they're a unique group of people.
They're the carriers of the promise.
Exactly, yeah. carriers of the promise. Yeah.
So. And so David yeah. was a carrier of the promise. My name's David, but I'm not a carrier of the promise. So I can't claim mm-hmm. the promises to him mm-hmm. Because I'm not the carrier of, you know, the hope of all creation is not dependent upon my immediate salvation so I can bring forth the promised line of Messiah. Mm. That ship sailed. That's David, the king of Israel. That's not David, the idiot
yeah.
who,
yeah.
you know, who you know is sitting here in this yeah. in his chair. So, sure. so I remember years ago. This is when I was in seminary and I was reading this little book we had in our house. It's called God's Little Promise Book or something yeah. like that. And I'm flipping through this. I'm going, these aren't promises to us. These are promises to them. Relevant to us.
For disappointment pretty yeah, quick.
Yeah.
You start claiming all those things.
And so, yeah. So, yeah. so we've got to be careful about the songs that we sing and, mm-hmm. and what we believe, lest we expect and demand God's going to do something that he haven't promised that he's going to do today. Mm-hmm. But it is, he does have promises for us that relate to the future, to resurrection, and eternal
yeah.
life.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Well, thanks for going there with me. Like we said, we're going to pick up next week in chapter 16. So until then, thanks for joining us and we'll see you.
For more resources, visit teachmethebible.com or download our app from any app store. You can partner with Teach Me the Bible in helping the people of God understand the Word of God by subscribing and sharing with others. Thank you for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.